Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for a meeting to introduce landowners to this important project for Minnesota, Xcel Energy, our customers, and our region. The Minnesota Energy Connection Project is part of Xcel Energy's plan to reduce carbon emissions 85% by 2030 and continue our vision of delivering 100% carbon-free electricity by 2050. A little housekeeping as we get started. If you have questions, please type them in the chat bar and we will answer them as we go along. And there will also be time for questions at the end of the meeting. If you are calling in, please dial *3 to ask a question and we will provide it to the speakers and we'll be able to answer those as we move along as well. During this presentation, you'll learn several items including the overall project purpose and need, the regulatory process and permits that are required, including how you can participate, the route development process, and how you can participate in that. First, a little bit about the need for the overall project. As we retire coal generation in the region, including the two Sherco units near Becker, we propose to reuse the existing grid connections that feed energy into the larger transmission system. Taking advantage of the strong wind resources in southern and southwest Minnesota will enable us to help keep bills low for customers while also continuing to deliver reliable electricity for our system. I'd like to introduce Joe Samuel for a little bit more about the project.
Thank you, Randy. I'm Joe Samuel, the project manager for the Minnesota Energy Connection Project. I oversee the various project teams that will be working on the project. This includes the team currently working on the Certificate of Need and the teams that will be supporting the route permitting efforts. If the Minnesota Public Utility Commission approves the Certificate of Need and route permit, I will also oversee the engineering and construction of the project. The photo on the left is representative of the type of structures we are proposing to build. This is called a double circuit 345 kilovolt transmission structure. Double circuit means that there are two transmission line circuits, one on each side of the tower. This will increase the amount of renewable energy we can provide to customers through this project. We expect the route to be approximately 160 to 180 miles in length, depending on the endpoint in Lyon County. The route has not been determined yet, and the initial routing process will start next year. As landowners, you have opportunities to participate in the routing process.
And now we'll introduce Mara Ashman to talk about some of the regulatory processes.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mara Ashman. I work with subject matter experts in our transmission department to obtain the state permits we need for new power lines like these. The commission has a detailed process that utilities must follow when proposing a new high-voltage transmission line, and we must secure two permits before we can build anything. At a high level, the Certificate of Need is the first permit and covers the project proposal overview, essentially answering the question, is the proposed project needed? The route permit is the second permit that answers the question of where the transmission line should go. Just a minute ago, I mentioned that the Certificate of Need answers the question of whether the proposed project is needed. Xcel Energy must demonstrate that the project is needed to serve our customers, and the permit compares the company's proposed project to other possible alternatives and provide supporting details like cost estimates, engineering data, and energy forecasts. This is a public process with opportunities for public input and comments. The process takes about a year and will include opportunities to provide public comments, participate in public hearings, and observe or participate in evidentiary hearings overseen by an administrative law judge. The judge will send a report to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, which makes the final decision on if the project is needed, and if so, where it should go. And the regulatory filings made for the Certificate of Need can be found on the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission website by clicking on e-docket and searching for the docket number you see on the screen, docket number 22131.
And Matt Langan, who leads our routing effort, is going to talk a little bit about that process now.
Thank you, Randy. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Matt Langan. I lead the team working on route development for the Minnesota Energy Connection project, and we'll also develop the route permit application to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission that Mara was just mentioning. On the screen, on this slide, you have the notice area map, and that is a map that is developed for our certificate of need process and approved by the commission that allows us to provide notice to all landowners who could be affected by the project. As part of the certificate of need process, we wanted to ensure that we provided as much notice to landowners and local governments to ensure we didn't leave anyone out who could eventually be affected, which is why we included such a large area in the map and the mailing from last summer. Now, to explain a little bit about the map itself, and if you hopefully you received this map in the mail. If you did not, we do have some information at the end of this presentation where you can either send us an email or give us a phone call and let us know that you'd like to be included on the project notice list. But on the map that you received, we show existing roadways within the project area, existing transmission lines in the project area, and local communities along the way. So that's what's represented in the map. Certainly, if folks have questions about this map, this group would be happy to answer those today.
Before we go into the next slide, I do just want to mention that, again, if you have a question and you're calling in on the phone, you can dial *3 to ask your question. You can put a question in the, if you're online viewing on the website, you can submit a question through the chat bar. And also, we did have one request about not being able to hear. Want to make sure that people do press play on their streaming player to make sure that they are hearing, if they're seeing the full presentation, if that happens to be an issue. And before we jump to Matt's next slide, we will be posting a recording and the slides on our website as well, so people can view these after the fact. So, Matt, you want to go ahead with your next slide?
Certainly. Thank you for that, Randy. So with the route permit application that we mentioned, the route permit is an route permit application is something that we will file with the Public Utilities Commission that shows where the line may go. We're required to provide at least two options for two route options between project endpoints between the Sherco substation and Lyon County, Minnesota. And the process itself, while that application is under review, includes several opportunities for public involvement. In the end, the commission will only approve one option that we present or that is presented by landowners. And importantly, we cannot build a new transmission line until we have both of these regulatory approvals that we've been speaking about, the certificate of need and the route permit. Now, what I will say about the route permit or the routing process is that we are very early, very, very early in that process. We intend to host public open houses starting in 2023 to gather input from the public, from communities, from state agencies and federal agencies as we develop the two route options for the project. Our timeline is not to apply or submit that application until fall of 2023. So we're quite early in the route development process, and that's our timeline for filing a route permit application. As we noticed earlier, the large notice area was developed to ensure we informed anyone who may be affected by eventual route options. As part of the route development process, we will narrow that area to corridors where we can focus for our consideration, including areas that have existing utility infrastructure, including areas that have existing right-of-ways, such as roads. And our state agencies and experience with landowners has shown that these can be the preferred locations for new power lines like this one.
Now, we've got a couple of questions about the kind of easement routing process. Do we want to address those before we move on?
Certainly.
Okay, why don't I pose these to you so everyone can hear. We had one question asking if affected landowners get paid if a route is chosen on their property.
Yes, if a route is chosen on your property by the Public Utilities Commission, XL Energy will seek to acquire an easement for construction and operation of that transmission line on the property. The right-of-way associated, the typical right-of-way associated with a double circuit 345 line is 150 feet in width. So that would be approximately 75 feet on either side of the center line of the transmission project.
And, well, so you mentioned looking at existing transmission lines, so that's part. Can you explain, will we possibly locate next to existing transmission lines eventually?
Yes, our Public Utilities Commission asks us to evaluate areas where existing transmission lines are for an opportunity to parallel or route adjacent to those existing utilities. So that is one area where we are certainly looking to investigate alignments that may make sense next to existing utilities.
Great, thanks. And we've got a couple of questions that I think we can cover. As Matt noted, we have not studied specific routes or identified specific routes or townships aside from that large notice area. That map is available on our website if you click mnenergyconnection.com and then click Project Need, and we can also email that map to people as well if you email us at mnenergyconnection@xlenergy.com. We'll put these that information up on the screen later as well so you can have a chance to write it down. And Joe, we've got another question that I think you could answer about the distance between poles for the proposed line.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. So it will really be dependent upon the route and terrain, but general rule of thumb is that they're spaced about 1,000 feet apart. And again, this will work through that during our routing process and do preliminary structure spotting. But for reference, approximately 1,000 feet between structures.
And Matt, do you want to, anything else on this slide, or do you want to move on to the next one?
I think we can go to Keith to the next slide, please. Yes. Okay, thank you. So some keys to route development, some key areas and issues that we're looking for feedback on. We do have between the Sherco substation and near Becker, Minnesota, and Lyon County, we will need to cross both the Mississippi River and the Minnesota River. So we'll be looking for feedback from communities and our state and federal regulators on where the ideal locations for those crossings are. In addition to the river crossings, we'll work with local governments and agencies to identify not only current land uses, but planned future land uses to ensure we consider those when developing corridors and route options. And we will be meeting with tribal governments, state agencies, federal agencies to ensure that we're meeting their needs and requirements. But so often the most important information we get during this process is directly from landowners, and again in 2023, early 23, and later in the spring as well. We plan to be out in the communities soliciting feedback from folks in the community to host open houses and gain important information about our routing considerations.
Great, thanks. And another question about when we expect to have the route developed. Can you walk through the timeline quickly again for 2023?
Yes, so 2023, we're looking to host a first round of open houses in the project area, several locations within the project area in late January. Then we envision a second round of open houses where we've narrowed, based on the feedback that we've received, where we've narrowed those down to more precise options between the project endpoints. Then we anticipate filing a route permit application in the fall of 2023. And that review process, I think it was described earlier, is probably about an 18-month public review process. So we anticipate, Randy, having a route decision in the spring of 2025.
Okay, great. A couple other questions that have come in about, you know, the types of energy that are being proposed. And, you know, one of the reasons, a couple of the reasons the line will connect to the Sherco power plant near Becker is because we're retiring coal operations there, but do still have really strong grid connections to the rest of the transmission system in the region that connects at the Sherco and near the Sherco location. And then building a line to southwest Minnesota where some of the most productive wind resources in the country are being are proposed and located will really help us get to the point where we can increase the amount of renewables, especially that consistent renewable energy that we need to serve our customers. And also had a question about the Sherco Solar project that was recently approved by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. That will also connect to the grid at the Sherco power plant, reusing those grid connections. And the Sherco power plant is being retired. Each unit is being retired in a different year. And so the solar that's there will kind of replace the energy that is being used or the capacity that's being used at the Sherco 2, which will be the first unit to retire. And then this line is designed to be in service around the time that we complete the retirement of Unit 3 in the late 2020s or by 2030. Matt, another question for you about how we route. And so can you talk about, you know, routing along, you know, some sort of existing easement or, you know, transmission line or roadway and kind of that process again?
Yeah. Thank you, Randy. I see a couple of those questions have come up, and they're good ones. We are investigating, you know, where there's existing right-of-way and if there is availability for a new 150-foot right-of-way to parallel those existing either utility or road rights-of-way. In some cases, there will be an available extra right-of-way adjacent those existing facilities. In others, where the utility or the roadway is, there's just not availability of 150 feet in width of right-of-way. But we certainly are in evaluating each of those routes to see if that's a possibility. And those will be under consideration as we begin our routing process and, you know, route development process in concert with the public next year. There is a question, Randy, if I may, I see here that asks about whether sometimes rights of way can just be in the middle of an agricultural field. And my answer to that is that yes, that is also a possibility if there are field division lines, property lines. Those would also, at this very early stage, could be under consideration, something that we'd study and that we'd look for folks' feedback on.
Great, thanks. A couple more questions coming in about the type of energy, one about energy storage. And yeah, I think it's probably helpful to go back. You know, one of the reasons that we're proposing this project goes back to the integrated resource, what's called an integrated resource plan that we proposed with the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission over the last number of years, that was approved in early 2022 after a couple year review process. And it was at that point where we proposed retiring all of the coal generation at Sherco, and then after a pretty lengthy process, came up with this project proposal to build a power line between the Sherco plants and Southwest Minnesota. And so the answer about whether or not there will be storage on the line, that's a possibility at some point in the future. We know, what we do know now is that Southwest Minnesota is one of the most consistent wind resource areas in the country, and that there's a lot of wind being proposed that we believe we'll be able to connect to for this project. Also, as part of that integrated resource plan, the company and the commission identified a need for what's called dispatchable generation, the energy you can always call on if, you know, you've got a low wind day, or you know, you're not getting the kind of solar generation that you would hope. That'll be determined in a different process than the transmission line process that the company will kick off with the commission and other stakeholders in the coming years. And that could be a combination of storage, traditional power plants, namely peaking power plants, or the kind of things that are reviewed. But the commission and the company, I don't think we have a date on that, Mara, unless you're aware of something. Just in the coming years, we'll start that conversation. The information up on the screen now, we are always open to answer questions and provide information. There is quite a bit of information on our website about things, you know, where things currently stand, how you can participate and learn more about the project. If people who have joined this call, or your neighbors, or you know, anyone has interest in it, please let them know. They can visit the website at mnenergyconnection.com. You can always call the toll-free number up there at 888-292-4714. If we're not able to answer the phone when you call, please leave a message. There are several of us who have access to the voicemail, and we're usually able to get back to people within a day or so. And of course, if you email mnenergyconnection@xlenergy.com with any questions or comments, we're also able to you know, route that to the appropriate person to make sure that we're able to get information or answers to your questions as quickly as we can. So that is the end of our prepared remarks, but we're, you know, happy to answer any additional questions that come in that haven't yet been addressed. And if, you know, we'll hang out, we've got another 20 plus minutes or so of availability. So if you have questions, please let us know. Also, just one more reminder, if you are calling in on the telephone and have a question, please press star 3, and your question will be, or your call will be directed to someone who can ask that question of us. All right, thanks everyone for hanging on. We've got quite a few questions that have come in, so we'll start to answer some of those. You know, we had one question about are we looking for other types of clean energy generation? That'll be a process that's handled in a different part of the company than the transmission development. In the coming months or years, we're not really sure exactly when, we will publish a request for proposal for new renewable energy to connect to this project. Due to the way the company operates and to meet federal regulations, those decisions are handled outside of the transmission department to make sure that there's a level playing field for all of the companies or individuals who may be interested in providing new renewable projects for us. So keep an eye out for that. We'll publish when that RFP is published. We will post it on our website, and we generally notify as many of the traditional companies that participate in those kind of things, distribute a news release as well. That's kind of how we'll secure the energy that is eventually transmitted on this line. Another question about the January open houses and when people will be notified. Similar to this mailing or this meeting, we'll send mailings out to the mailing list that we've been using for the July notice plan and for this project as well, or for this meeting as well. And then we also advertise in newspapers of the county of record in each county that could potentially be affected. So keep an eye out on your mail and your newspapers, and we don't have dates scheduled yet, but we do think that it'll probably be sometime beginning on or around the week of January 20th. And as Matt noted, we want to hold them throughout the project area to make sure that people don't have to drive too far and that they're at convenient locations that people have access to, but that people can also you know, have enough room for people to, you know, come in and participate and host the kind of crowds that we expect to see. Matt, do you want to and for one more note on the January meetings, I think that we'll probably in January host a meeting similar to this where we can you know, kind of show people where we're at with narrowing down to potential study corridors and then take feedback on some of the issues in each of the area. If not exactly like this, then we'll probably set something up on the website with you know, the ability to take comments and maybe at the county level or something like that to make sure we can get kind of that local feedback that we're looking at. You know, Matt, we've got a question about the endpoint substation. Do you want to address that one?
Sure, Randy, thank you. The question there is whether the endpoint is going to be a new safe substation or will we be tying into an existing substation. To be clear, this will be a new substation. Right now, the location is very generalized, somewhere in Lyon County, but it will be a new substation at the end of the line in Lyon County.
Okay. And we also have a question about, you know, if the router is approved on someone's property who doesn't want it, how does that process work with negotiating easements with landowners?
Certainly. And so if you do, if the commission does approve a route on your property, there's a couple things. One is that the commission will approve a route which will be of a specific width. And we would be able to, that would approve us to site that 150-foot right-of-way somewhere within that route width. So if, you know, we have some flexibility to work with the landowner on where to place that right-of-way, where to place the transmission structure, and so we would begin negotiations that way. Then also, you know, we've had a strong track record of being able to negotiate easements in a situation where we've got a new right-of-way for a transmission line on a property, and so our land agents would be out to work with that landowner directly, understanding the fair market value of that land and compensating them appropriately in a one-time payment. And so that's how that process would play out. It would be a negotiation between the company and the landowner.
Okay. Another question about if we are going to buy or lease the land if a route is selected there.
So
do you want to talk about purchasing an easement and how that process and what the restrictions are on that?
Yeah, thank you, Randy. I do. So it would be an easement, which would mean that the landowner still owns that land. We would compensate the landowner for that easement, and what that would allow Xcel Energy to do is not only obviously construct the line, but also to maintain the line. We inspect our lines, on a rotating basis. We make sure that they are in proper working order. And so we need some ability to access the land in order to maintain that line in perpetuity. That said, while our crews are not out there maintaining the line, the land underneath it and within that right-of-way, within that easement, under most circumstances, can be used as it has traditionally been used. So agricultural operations can continue within that easement. Tall-growing trees, not compatible inside of a transmission line easement. But again, other land uses that would not interfere with the operation of the line would be allowed.
Okay. And Joe, I think we've got a question that you could answer. Are we planning on all overhead lines for this project?
Yeah, that's a great question, Randy. So we are looking at overhead transmission lines. I think in that question they asked if we're considering burying any transmission lines. And burying of a transmission line creates some technical challenges as well as economic challenges. So we're really looking at trying to build a line in an economical fashion, and the most economical approach is an overhead transmission line.
Great. Thanks, Joe. We had another question about at the end of life for renewables, whether wind and solar, who is responsible for disposal of those. And, Xcel Energy has been a national leader in wind energy for more than a decade now and has quite a bit of experience both operating wind and solar due to that. We're committed to the responsible disposal, reuse, and recycling of wind turbines and components. In fact, in recent years, we have repowered several wind projects where we removed the blades and some of the inner equipment in what's called the nacelle, kind of at the hub, and then are able to reuse, the tower and the foundation for that. Technology and recycling opportunities are always changing, and we're working with both manufacturers and industry groups to explore ways to reuse some of the non-recyclable materials. And for example, both GE and Siemens just this year have introduced fully recyclable wind turbine blades. In a lot of cases, we can also reuse a lot of the material if we're not able to repower, such as the nacelles, tower sections, internal gearing, things like that contain metal that can be recycled. And then some wind turbine blades will recycle the components that we can. Fiberglass is a big component in that where we're not able to recycle. And then that's traditionally disposed disposed in the similar manner that other non-recyclable construction materials are used in an approved construction landfill. Let's see, we've got another question, Matt, about the anticipated endpoint in Lyon County. I want to kind of note, we're still looking right now.
Yeah, it's an open question right now, and right now we've identified Lyon County, which I realize is a very big geographic area. Could be all the way southern Lyon County, Right now, we do not have a solidified endpoint for the project.
Okay, thanks. And there's a question about residences that are in the right-of-way. You want to talk a little bit more about kind of identifying areas that wouldn't be, avoid that?
Thank you, Randy, and thanks for the question, Steve. It's important to note that we are not proposing to route this line over the top of anybody's home. We would strive to route this line such that no home is within the right-of-way. So that means that the center line of the transmission line would be a minimum of 75 feet away from the nearest edge of the road. We're also very aware that, you know, we've routed lines before, and we're aware that probably the most common comment we receive is to not put the line very close to my home, please. And so we're aware of that and consider homes, residences strongly in our routing efforts. But suffice to say, rest assured that we were not proposing to route it directly up and over the top of anybody's home.
Great, thanks. We've got a couple other questions about how landowners are compensated. Do you want to talk about, I know you mentioned this a little earlier, maybe go through it again, how easement payments are discussed with landowners?
Sure, and that's, you know, this is the right-of-way itself is an easement of 150 feet. That 150 feet would, you know, run a certain length along an individual's property. That acreage, that width times length, that acreage would be what we would look to fairly compensate the landowner for based on current land values. And again, that would be in a one-time payment.
Great, thanks. A couple other questions just coming in. You know, one about will this impact Wright Hennepin Electric customers? I think the we don't have a route determined yet. As we noted earlier, we'll start that process in January, and then in terms of who could be affected, it really depends on where the eventual commission approved route goes. So we encourage people to stay tuned as we move into the route development phase next year. Keep an eye on your mailbox for the notifications about the open houses and on the website as well. The notifications of the meeting online, we are compiling an email list, so I believe, community engagement section of the website, mnenergyconnection.com. You can click on something to sign up for email notifications. And I do know we had a technical hiccup that I think our IT system was able to solve. If you do happen to get an error message from that, please email mnenergyconnection@xlenergy.com. We'll make sure that we get people added to that when while that technical glitch is going on. I think it had to do something to do with the service we were using to collect emails. But like I said, I think we got that corrected. And then, yes, we will also post all of the meetings that we have on our community engagement page on the website as well. Another question about transmission congestion issues. This will not directly solve some of the near-term congestion issues that we've experienced on the transmission system, some of which has resulted in some wind curtailment. The company is working on a lot of different technical solutions and other more near-term solutions that could help with congestion. This line, I think we'd mentioned earlier, would be in service in the 27 to 2028 timeframe. So it wouldn't solve some of those near-term congestion issues that we've seen on the overall transmission system. Matt, there's another question about crossing I-94. So I want to know if you want to kind of address that over near the Sherco plant, kind of getting to the west from there, some of the issues that you see.
Yes, I can do that. And Randy, if you don't mind, I threw a question my way about existing easements, and I missed one from John. I missed a question from John up here that is asking if we can replace an existing transmission line right of way with this project. And the answer to that is no. This will be a standalone right of way. The existing transmission on the landscape will need. And because this is a double circuit transmission line that we're proposing, we can't join an additional line onto that structure that you saw the picture of earlier in the presentation. So this will be a standalone, and its interaction with any existing transmission would simply be to parallel that. So sorry that I missed that question up there, John, but that's our answer to that. And then Jim, regarding the crossing of I-94, yes, we would need to make a crossing of that transmission line and the interstate there. So just like the river crossings, that's an important, a key feature out there on the landscape that we will need to make sure that we are able to cross both of those, you know, east, basically east-west linear features on the landscape. And so, yes, we will make crossing of that with this project.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Just a reminder, if you are on the phone to and have a question, please dial *3, and that will be routed to us. Matt, we've got another question about easements, and I'm not sure the answer to this one. Is the easement paid to landowners considered taxable income?
Randy, I'm sorry to tell you that I do not know the answer to that one, and I think that that's a good candidate for us to place on our frequently asked questions page on the website. I'm jotting that down now. I'm sorry I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah, we'll get that added to the FAQ page on our website, and also if viewer wants to email mnenergyconnection@xlenergy.com, we will talk with one of our land agents who would have expertise in that area and find out the answer. Have another person who joined the meeting late and is looking for a detailed map of proposed routes. Just a reminder, we have not yet identified a route. If you check the project needs section of the website, you'll see what's called the notice area, and we will start the process of developing the proposed routes early next year. We'll hold open houses beginning in January, where we ask for feedback from landowners about the types of land use issues and things we should consider when developing a transmission line route. Come back with in the late spring, probably April or May, with additional kind of refinements based on what we heard from landowners and our meetings with local governments, state agencies, all the kind of people we traditionally work with on projects like this, and then propose an actual route with a route permit application to the state's Public Utilities Commission in the September 2023 timeframe, and then that process takes about 18 months until we have a final decision on that. Okay. Matt, do you want to grab this question on transmission line static interference and stray voltage?
Yes, and the way I can answer that is, you know, we have the 150-foot right-of-way, sort of at 75 feet on either side, where, you know, we maintain that area as reserved for, you know, maintenance of the line, as well as sort of what can and cannot go within that right-of-way. And that provides that safe distance from some of these issues that are raised in this question. But I will say that the, you know, each of these topics will be covered in the route permit application that we provide, and then the state's independent review that the state will prepare an environmental impact statement based on our route permit application and the routes we provide and investigate each one of these issues, John, that you bring up in your question, stray voltage, interference, you know, all impacts that could potentially be associated with this line. And so that's the type of information that will be included and studied independently by the state based on our application.
Great. Thanks, Matt. We are getting close to time, but are happy to hang out for a few more minutes and answer any additional questions that come in. We'll also remind people to please hit *3 if you're dialing in and have questions that you'd like to answer, and they'll be routed to us. I'll also remind people that we we'll update our FAQs that cover a lot of the questions that we've heard today on the mnenergyconnection.com website. And if you do have questions that you think of, you know, later today or in the coming days, you can always email us at mnenergyconnection@xlenergy.com or give us a call at 888-292-4714. If we're not able to grab your call at the moment, then please leave a message. It goes to me and Matt and a couple other people, and we'll be able to get back to you as quickly as we can. And if it's a specific question, then we will, and we don't know the answer right away, we will get back to you as soon as we can. Great. Thanks, people, or thanks, everyone, for joining. A couple of more questions that have come in. Joe, a question about the height of the tower. Do you want to address that? And then a couple others that have come in, I'll take a stab at.
Yeah, Randy, I'd be happy to. So the height of the towers, again, will be dependent upon the final design and the route. But general rule of thumb for a double circuit 345 transmission line, we're between 75 and 170 feet in height. And again, all dependent on site conditions and the final design as we go through the routing process.
Great, thanks. A couple other questions have come in, and I'll just also go back to our original, kind of opening where, you know, the reason for this project, we're retiring coal generation in the region as our company moves to reduce carbon emissions 85% by 2030 and continue our vision of delivering 100% carbon-free electricity by 2050. Connecting to the wind-rich resources in Lyon County in southwest Minnesota is really going to help us get to that initial 2030 goal of reducing carbon by 85% over that period. And then we're also able to continue to deliver reliable electricity because we've got a full complement of energy resources on our system. I mentioned earlier the integrated resource plan. As part of that, we proposed extending the nuclear plant at Monticello to 2040. The Prairie Island plant is still one of our key resources to deliver carbon-free electricity as well to customers and really assist with that reliability need that we have. And then, again, we'll propose what we call dispatchable power plants that we can call on when renewables aren't available to make sure that we can continue delivering reliable electricity for our customers. One last reminder before we log off is first to thanks everyone for taking some time out of your day to learn about the project. We look forward to meeting more of you in the future as we get to the open houses and route development phase. And you can always email us at mnenergyconnection@xlenergy.com and call us at 888-292-4714. We do have one more question that did pop up. Joe, steel or wood structures for this project?
Yeah, thanks, Randy. So we would be looking at steel structures for this project. And again, we'd be using steel because of the voltage of the transmission lines. These are important transmission lines that we want to look at the longevity and reliability issues. So again, they will be steel transmission structures.
Great, thank you. All right, thanks again everyone for joining us, and we look forward to meeting you in the future. Have a great day.